Last month, 14 illegal immigrants died of thirst in the Arizona desert when they were abandoned by a smuggler who said he was going to get water. The tragedy points to two unexpected consequences of the U.S. Border Patrol's crackdown at the border with Mexico. First, illegal immigrants have been squeezed into remote desert stretches. And second, more are using professional smugglers, known along the border as coyotes. NPR's John Burnett has the second of two reports.
Talk to enough immigrants and you soon realize there are two kinds of coyotes, good ones and very bad ones. The decent ones deliver their clients to the U.S. safe and sound, but you rarely hear about them. However, the newspapers are full of the bad ones, of which there seems to be no shortage. Last month, when coyotes brought a 15-year-old Mexican boy up from South Texas to Houston, it turned into a nightmare. His older sister, Maria, who lives in Freeport, south of Houston, got the call from the coyotes.
They told me that if I didn't pay them $1,800, they wouldn't turn him into the INS, they would kill him and leave his body in the countryside. My other brother called me from Denver and told me he'd send all the money so that I could pay it and save my little brother, but I said no.
Instead of paying the ransom, Maria called the police. She convinced his captors she would pay the ransom. When the coyote drove up, the cops swooped in, arrested him, and freed her brother. And none too soon, says Freeport Police Detective Teresa LeBlanc.
They had no plan of giving the brother to her. Had we not been there, she'd still be getting phone calls and they'd still be extorting money and he'd still be in their custody.
Coyotes extorting migrants has become commonplace in major smuggling cities such as Houston, Phoenix, and Los Angeles. The smugglers know a migrant usually cannot afford the expensive trip on his own. He usually has people in the destination city who will pay his fee, and the migrant works off the loan once he gets a job. And it is those friends or family who are the targets of extortion, says Mike McMahon, chief of anti-smuggling in the Houston INS district.
We've had five hostage-type situations similar to that within the last month. The price goes up when they get here. Another smuggler gets involved. I'm not letting them go till you give me an extra $6,000 or $8,000. We hear that once a week, if not more.
Rival smugglers have also begun to steal groups of immigrants from each other, McMahon says, in some cases leading to the kinds of shootouts normally associated with drug traffickers.
Now here in Houston, in the last year, 14 months, we've had six homicides attributed to the fact that there are loads being ripped off. They'll steal the load to generate a higher fee, then they'll contact the respondent or the family or the employer and demand higher wages on that.
A veteran anti-smuggling field agent, Oscar Costaño, who's been on the border for 17 years, reports working a recent undercover case in which the coyote forced male migrants to perform oral sex on him at gunpoint when they could not pay up.
I've seen in the last 2 to 3 years, I've seen drastic changes as to the way the smugglers work. They're hiring anybody that's willing to do it. So now you're getting people that they don't care. They don't care who they hurt as long as they get their $1,000 per body. They'll collect any which way they can.
Listening to the INS, it's easy to conclude that all coyotes are ruthless. In fact, that's not the case at all. Of the dozen illegal immigrants smuggled into Texas who were interviewed for this report, more than half of them had no complaints. They reported the coyote delivered them to their destination safely without jacking up the fee. David Spiener, a sociologist at Trinity University in San Antonio, has been researching the smuggler's trade for 3 years for a book.
There are other coyotes who move people from their hometowns who are enmeshed in a social network that, you know, has, you know, mutual obligations to kinsfolk and townspeople that presumably treat people better.
There are millions of Mexican-born people living in the United States, Spiener asserts, most of whom crossed the border illegally.
And most of whom used a coyote at some point along their journey to get across. And so clearly, you know, using a coyote is likely to help you get across the border eventually and presumably arrive more or less safely in your destination.
Arcadio Lopez is a 29-year-old Guatemalan staying in an immigrant shelter, Casa Juan Diego, in Houston. He crossed the length of Mexico on his own, then paid a coyote $1,300 to take him from Matamoros to Houston.
Other friends have told me they were terribly mistreated. In my case, perhaps these coyotes are not as bad as they say. I was under God's protection. They treated me very well. There were people who said they were tired. Two fat men and our group of 13 had to rest, and the coyote said, "Let's walk slower so we can all make it." In this way, he didn't abandon anyone. He also took us to find water when we ran out.
There's a simple reason why many coyotes don't go out of their way to cause trouble, says Alvin St. Laban, head of the anti-smuggling unit in Eagle Pass, Texas.
He wants to take care of his people. He wants to be recommended for another load. If a coyote loses his load, he's not very well thought of. If he has a death occur in his operation, the organization is exposed. And if it disrupts the operation, people won't make money. And it's the bottom line, it's all about the dollar bill.
There are still scores of small-time coyotes operating independently, and the Border Patrol arrests them when it can catch them. But federal agents have shifted their focus to combat the larger organizations, says Jim Chaparro, head of anti-smuggling efforts for the INS in Washington.
If we're able to target the kingpin smugglers, I think you do a lot more damage to the smuggling organizations than you would if you were to arrest the mom-and-pop smugglers, which I guess if you were to do a comparison with the drug trade, it would be focusing your efforts on a kingpin versus a street corner drug dealer.
In the past 2 years, the INS, working with police agencies in Mexico and Central America, have been able to bring down several high-level smugglers. What's more, a new law gives INS investigators the same powers to wiretap and seize assets of alien smugglers as the DEA has against drug traffickers. But the push factor in the countries of origin, relentless poverty with no hope of better wages, creates a bottomless supply of customers. And the smugglers are outmaneuvering the U.S. government's best efforts to thwart them, using scouts, cell phones, two-way radios, even night vision equipment. Again, Jim Chaparro.
The smuggling organizations are very well entrenched, and they're very flexible. They have the ability to react to everything that we do.
The INS has tripled its budget in the past 7 years, but most of that has gone to the Border Patrol. Little of the new funding has made it to the anti-smuggling units, even as the coyote trade has expanded in recent years. Again, Alvin St. Laban, a 24-year veteran of the INS anti-smuggling force.
Without additional resources and manpower, we just don't have what it takes to cut the head off the snake. We will continue to knock down the coyote and the driver and the low-level operators, but we don't have the resources to penetrate the organization.
And even if they did have the resources to penetrate the coyote organizations, would it slow the human tide coming north? A Mexican immigrant sits in a park in Piedras Negras, Mexico, waiting to cross the river at nightfall. "Why are you doing this?" he asks in exasperation of the INS border strategy. "We're not coming to break your laws. We just want the jobs that you don't want." John Burnett, NPR News, Piedras Negras, Mexico.